The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Deemed Depths, your favorite television streaming services. Venture 2 Adventurers. Bring to find the worst of Netflix. They watch them, so you don't have to.
Hello there, and welcome back to The Worst of Netflix, the series where Gaz and I attempt to find the absolute worst that Netflix has to offer.
Yay.
We're back, Gaz.
Fun.
Yeah. Yay.
Fun times. Do you know what I'm concerned
Happy
about?
Days.
Is, there has been a little bit of a fan-critical revolution recently, which means that we're going to be doing these much more regularly.
I know.
Great news for the listeners, obviously. Less great news for us.
More work for us. Anyway, so we are here to talk about some of the shittest movies that exist on Netflix, and we have one in particular that we are going to speak about. But I did say in our last episode that I'd basically had enough of us having to suffer through films like Fred and Sextuplets. So I decided to wade through one of my favourite genres, actually, the zombie movie.
Is it still one of your favourite genres?
Yeah, do you know what? I mean, look, I spoiler warning here for any... In fact, no, not spoiler warning. Maybe I'm showing you behind the curtain a little bit. And when I say curtain, I mean like, you know, movie sense, not like a shower curtain. They're see-through anyway, so don't... But so basically, I've had a chat with you and Len, and I get the feeling that you both absolutely hated the movie that we're about to talk about. I'm not sure that I am on the same level, but okay. You know, I decided to look at zombie movies because I did want to find, you know, something garbage, but also something like edible, like a Macca's, as they say in Australia. Macca's being KFC. No, Macca's being McDonald's. So.
Before we move on from that, you know, I mean, you know, I'm sure what they call Burger King here.
Hungry Jacks.
Hungry Jacks.
Yeah.
How good
weird, isn't it?
So weird. I still call it Burger King. Just
Is there an actual Burger King in Australia?
Yeah. So I can't remember the extent of the chain, but there's a Burger King restaurant, which is why they couldn't get the rights to have Burger King here in Australia, so they called it Hungry Jack's. But you can still say Burger King and people know what you're talking about, so it's all right.
Meet me in Burger King. Just loads of people sitting in Macca's. I said meet me at KFC. No, you said Burger King. Anyway, it's just so baffling.
Red Rooster. Yeah,
but you know, now you're baffling people because
I know. Sorry,
I mean Red Rooster is so confusing to me as a restaurant. Like, we would never get that in the UK, where it's like, so it's a KFC, but it's roast chicken instead.
Yeah, who wants that?
Bizarre.
Give me the fried chicken. If we're doing chicken, let's fry it, please.
Yeah. Anyway, so this we are here to talk about a zombie movie, a terrible zombie movie. Not. You know, not bog average restaurants in Australia. So the film that I did choose was the 2018 film Day of the Dead Bloodline.
Bloodline.
I love that tagline.
Why is
I
that
love that tagline, by the way.
What, Bloodline?
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's original, isn't it? It's mental how many films have Bloodline in the title. There is actually a film just called Bloodline.
Right. Is it called called Bloodline : Bloodline?
No, it's just called Bloodlines, I think.
Okay.
And that's not a song. Bloodlines. That'd be mad, wouldn't it? Yeah, it's like a trilogy, I think. It's like Bloodlines 3. I'm like, what happened the other two? But do you want to have a guess at how many films have Bloodline in the title, according to IMDb?
All I can think of at the moment is Hellraiser, Bloodline.
Yep, that's one.
I quite like. I like the Hellraiser series of movies.
The first one is a classic.
Yeah.
And Pinhead is like such a cool villain.
Yeah.
I found that terrifying as a kid. Like, that to me was like, obviously you had Halloween and Nightmare on Elm Street. But Halloween I liked because I was like, oh, I really like Michael Myers. Nightmare on Elm Street I thought was a bit shit, to be honest. Even as a kid, I was like, who cares? Go away. But Hellraiser terrified me.
Yeah. Yeah. The idea, like, I don't know. There's something enigmatic about them as well, isn't there? The Cenobites. Like, where have they come from? Like, what are they? Like, it's that there's some creepy, like, lore behind that. But yes, Hellraiser is one. And I can't think of any others. So I'm going to have a guess at four other movies. Yeah.
It's a good guess. It's good, but it's not the one. So it's 77.
I think catchphrase would come up today.
Yeah. Yeah, bloody knew it would. Say what you see. Yeah, so it's 77.
Well, no, it's not.
Yeah.
77?
77 films that have Bloodline or Bloodlines in the title. That's just films. That's not possible? TV series.
Oh, I forgot Scooby-Doo 4, Bloodlines. Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, Bloodline.
Bloodlines.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. I forgot about that. Good. Home Alone Inception, 7, Bloodlines.
Yeah. What have you done, Kevin? it was a terrifying film. But yeah, so there you go. So 77. Which is mental, but also I'm like, yeah, I could see it. Like Channel 5 here in the UK, I'd imagine they've banged out like 20 of them.
Yeah, that's true.
Baywatch Bloodlines, like 100%, 100%. Anyway, so I'm going to change up the format of this episode, Gaz.
Thank God.
There's a couple of reasons. One, England are playing today. The Euros have just started, and I want to smash through this episode as quickly as possible. Yes. We're not going to do annoying things like editing, you know, Vindaloo or Three Lions or anything.
It's a shame.
There you go. So I said I wasn't going to do it. You've done the opposite. I've edited that in. So there you go. Little trick.
It's going to be embarrassing after we lose 3-0 to Croatia today.
Yeah, it's going to be even worse when I forget to edit it in. It's like, hey, what? He didn't even edit anything in.
And edit this bit out.
But anyway, so what I'm going to do, I'll still do a couple of reviews just to set the scene. One good, one bad. But in a change, I'll run through the plot of the film, which is going to be very quick. And Gaz, you can stop me whenever you wish. I've cut loads of characters out. So if you go, oh, you know, where's Michael? I'm going to, oh, no, I'm not talking about him. He's rubbish.
I can guarantee I won't. I think the film cut most of these characters out, to be fair.
Yeah, and rightfully so. But what I will do is invite you to discuss your absolute favourite scenes.
Yeah,
you know, the ones that push this film into free bloob heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And then also those that push this into the zero bloob Bloodlines family. But what I'll do, I'll start with the good review.
Okay.
Yeah. And there was one.
Yep.
Found it. On IMDb. It was written by Watermelon_Sarah5.
So bloody knew she would have, yeah.
Her again. Yeah. She's just reviewed every Bloodlines film. There are spoilers in this, so for anyone that hasn't seen this film, and I'm obviously doing this before I do the plot summary, believe me, it doesn't matter. But there was one line in this review that I really enjoyed. I've underlined it. I'm sure you'll be able to see where it is. So, warning, spoilers. Also, this was written December 2019. So, you know, Sarah was loving life back then. That was right before the pandemic. So imagine that.
Do you know, that's when I got married, isn't it? You wouldn't know. You went there. You didn't bother coming.
All right. Well, yeah, I was busy, man.
You were very busy, to be fair.
Yeah, Stranger Things. Anyway, so...
is that what you call her?
So... It's good, that. Anyway, so Sarah says, I liked this movie. It has potential. So the main female character annoyed me, though. Max, the actor, I believe did a great job. He was creepy and terrifying to me anyway. His acting was great, but the others, it's like you could tell they were acting.
Okay.
If they spent more time on this film and fixed the plot holes, I reckon it could be great. Maybe in the future do a reboot and fix it up. There's no, like, commas or anything like that in this.
No, you're adding them.
No. I thought the stalker part made the film different to normal zombie movies. It's just action and killing zombies with a bit of romance. It's been done too many times. I feel like this was a unique take on it and just needed to be fixed up. I feel like they killed Max. Spoiler warning. Just for women power. But not necessarily for the story, bloody women power. I would have liked to learn more about why his hormone levels were high and gone more in depth to what actually happened to him to make him not turn full rotter, which is a zombie. And why his samples before it all happened were so important. Was he always like this, or was there an imbalance? Did he get part of the infection beforehand? Too many questions unanswered. I hope they make a reboot or a second one and fix it up and answer some of these questions. 8 out of 10. So there you go.
Bloody hell.
I did enjoy that watermelon underscore Sarah 5 is having a go at women power there.
Yeah, I mean, she's not happy about Max being killed for women power. 8 out of 10, I think. Just doing some quick calculations here. That translates to 4 blueberries.
I think it does, yeah. Just about.
Quite a score.
Mm. Yeah. So there you go. So that sets the scene. So, you know, and she's covered a lot there. And I'll get you to touch on the unique aspect of having a zombie. In fact, having a sexual predator that's so rapey that it's somehow overpowered the fact that he's got a zombie virus.
Yeah, it's like, he is a zombie. Yeah.
He is a zombie, but also he's such a rapist that it's overpowered the zombiness. it's almost impressive. Oh, but anyway.
What's the moral of the story there? I don't...
Well, yeah. So then we've got the bad review. And it's titled, Are You Kidding Me? And it's from...
no, that's enough. I can relate.
Yeah, it's from mhorg20187.
Yeah, good old M.
And he wrote this in January 2018. So a full, you know, 2 years before the pandemic.
Is that how we do things now,
Yeah. I mean, look,
2 BC. 2 years
before
COVID.
Yeah, we fucked about with, you know, after death and before Christ and all that. No, now it's after COVID and before COVID. Yeah. ACBC, good band. So, so first, I'll be entirely honest, I absolutely hate remakes. 99% of them are utter crap. All right. Made by no talent pinheads... trying to use an existing success.
He's back, is he?
Yeah, he's directed this movie.
He's directing movies. Yeah. Wow.
Trying to use an existing success to lure chumps in to see their crappy, ill-thought-out tax break films.
Yeah, but
this
chumps
is
that's
no
a great,
different.
Great
it is
use
good,
of the
yeah.
word chumps. Yeah.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Lure chumps. This is no different. I didn't think that there could be a worse remake of Day than that horrible 2008 version. But this one is even worse. Someone should make a movie where George Romero comes back as a zombie and kills everyone, even thinking of making another remake of one of his movies. This has everything bad. Acting, storyline, plot. Even the zombies are bad. At 90 minutes long, it felt like three times that. Just a horrible waste of time. 7 out of 10. No, not really. So 1 out of 10.
1 out of 10.
1 out of 10. So because you can't do a 0 on IMDb, I'm going to assume this is a 0 bloob for MHorg 20187. But yeah, so do any of those reviews resonate with you, Gaz?
Yeah, I have to agree with Watermelon Sarah. Nah, look, I mean, let's be fair.
Be unfair.
Okay. acting is not a strength of this movie. It would have been better if they'd got professional actors in, I think.
Mm.
You know, they went the route they did. Storyline and plot, as is outlined by M. Hogg. I mean, some of the structure of this film, of the storyline, I want to touch upon. This is particularly in terms of the time that this is set over, and the way that they do that is phenomenal. So I'm looking forward to talking about that. I'm not going to tell you my final thoughts on this film just yet. Of course, we do save that until the end on the worst of Netflix.
Yep. The structure hasn't changed that much. So
no. So yeah. Look, what I will say to you is, I'll give you this. I'll give you this. As you know, I was watching this film with fellow Fan Critical member Len, and he, if he was on this pod, he'd be giving it a 0 blue. He hated it. He hated the experience, and he hated it in a way that isn't a lot of fun. And in fact, he brought up a previous worst of Netflix favorite, Alienator. And compared it unfavorably to that, because Alienator is a worse film in terms of the technicalities of filmmaking, the worst film. But in terms of the experience of watching it, he enjoyed that a lot more than this.
So Alienator is like, so if you've got kids and one of them comes home and they've done like a painting in school and it's shit, it's so shit, honestly. It's just like, you're looking at it going, who is that supposed to be, mum and dad? And it's like, no, that's supposed to be, you know, a house. And it's like, no, terrible.
Why has it got eyes?
But then you sort of go, okay, well, fine. You know, you've obviously got limited ability at this point. I'll stick it on the fridge for a couple of weeks. You know, there's something, it grows on you a little bit. Mm. I think Alienator is probably the same.
Yeah, it's very similar. And it was made by children, I think. So that makes sense. This is a film that, you know, I think the problem with it as well is, When you've got a film that's this shit, if it was made in the 80s, it would have that 80s charm about it. Like, we'd be watching it and being like, this is kind of charming in a way. Because I don't know when it was made, but it's recent. You can
very
you can
recent,
tell
yeah.
Yeah, last few
2018.
Right.
Or it in fact, doesn't... so it was made in 2016-17, released beginning of 2018.
Okay. It sort of feels like there's no excuse for this film to be as shit as it is.
Yes. Do you know how much they spent on it? Any guesses?
I'm going to say four. Same guesses.
$10 million. How mad's that?
Fucking hell.
They're definitely not paying the actors for this.
What did they spend it on?
What have they spent it on? Exploding heads, I think. We'll talk about that in a sec.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing I will say, is anybody that died seemed to have explosive blood. Like, it didn't matter what their injury was. Blood just exploded from them.
Yeah, well, that one guy was eating a grenade when he was... but yeah, it's bizarre. Anyway, so we'll get right into the plot summary. And again, feel free to stop me at any point.
I will.
Be forewarned, Gaz. Every time you stop me, this pod goes on for longer. So,
I will,
you know, if you go silent for 10 minutes...
Yeah.
We'll smash through this. So, brief plot summary is what I've written. Mm. And that is... That's being kind, to be honest. But So we start with our protagonist, medical student Zoe Parker.
Yeah.
Who is very bland, it has to be said. And Max, who's already been mentioned here as the star of the show, apparently. Mm. So he's Zoe's patient, I guess. He's a disgusting sexual predator on steroids. He's ripped, man.
I am going to stop you here because this is fucking nuts. Like, immediately, this is insane. She's a medical student. Her, like, superior, whatever, is like, okay, Zoe, your regular is here. And she says... Like, please don't make me go and see him. Like, this isn't right. And she's just like, you have to. You have to. Like, can't somebody else? And then she goes and sees Max. And he's literally a stalker, sexual predator. Like, clearly going to be a rapist. She should not be forced to do this. It's unbelievable.
Wow. Yeah. Well, there's a message here somewhere, I think. But... Someone mentioned in one of these reviews, I think they still gave it like a 2 out of 10 or whatever. Mm. But they did say that this film, it was obviously made in kind of that Me Too Hollywood era. Yeah. And maybe that kind of leans into it a little bit. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean...
Which is why this is a 5 Blue film, yeah? Because it's brave enough to, you know... But anyway... So he's a weird-looking man because I'm assuming you've seen Derek, you know, the Gervais. Show. And Derek's obviously, he's got that look where he's got a bit like me before I've had a shower. You see my hair where it's kind of like sort of brushed over to one side. It's a weird look.
I'm a bit annoyed, to be honest, mate, because we recorded a pod last week where you came at me about my beard and... compared me unfavourably to a famous serial killer in the UK.
Are you saying that you don't look like Peter Sutcliffe? Because if you are, I call you a liar, boy.
No, I've had a shave, mate. I look nothing like him.
A little bit.
Yeah, it grows back quickly. I'm a hirsute man. And you absolutely look like Derek. Like, so much like Derek. And I'm annoyed that I haven't said that before you said it. Because you've now taken the power away from me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But that's what he reminds me of. He reminds me of, like, his hair doesn't suit him. Like, he's clearly, he's been in the gym. His arms are ripped. He's a big fella.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I bet in real life he has hair like you.
Yeah. I bet he's a good looking fella like me. But he, in this... No. They've done that. No, he's not a good-looking fella. Like, they've done that. They've made his hair look weird and sticky and stuck to his head because he's supposed to be a sexual predator, and that is what sexual predators look like.
Correct. According so they've to gone, these look, sorts of films. They've gone, look. They've looked at him and gone, look, you look like a weird serial killer from the north of England, so what we're going to do instead of that is make you a weird sexual predator in US zombie land.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's got magical blood for some reason.
Yep.
Don't worry about why. It's just relevant for the plot. He's also in a a rather dashing way, cut Zoe's name into one of his arms. And that is important for later.
Yeah.
He's carved plot development into his right arm. So anyway, long story short, there's a party for the med students. That gets interrupted by a zombie outbreak. Max is still hanging around for some reason. He corners Zoe in the mortuary, the morgue or whatever it is. He tries to rape her. He gets bitten and killed. Definitely dead. Zoe escapes. Everyone is bitten. For some reason, they explode when they're bitten.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
You know, Zoe's best mate, who's definitely going to be a part of the story, she's gobbled up and explodes.
Right.
You want to cover there? That's kind of the beginning of the film. It then goes Day of the Dead, Bloodlines.
Yeah. 12 minutes in, by the way, that title comes up.
Yeah.
But,
awful.
Yeah, there's a few things I want to cover. First of all, yeah, there's this party going on. We learn in the lead up to this party, because Zoe's talking to her best friend, who's called, who has a name. What is her name? Abby. Abby. And she's like they've dubbed over her
voice.
Whatever
your name is, can you help me with this?
Yeah. They've dubbed over her voice for some reason.
I didn't notice that.
You didn't notice? Oh my word. Look back at it.
My phone at the time.
Unreal, mate. Yeah. So I don't know whether when she was the actor who played Abby was just hey Zoe, come and have a look at this party that we have. I'm like, all right, we can't have that, can we?
Yeah. Very heavy smoker. Yeah.
But also Abby helps to establish that Zoe is really shy and awkward in social situations, which has no relevance at all for the movie.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. None of this matters. Abby
There's
has a boyfriend.
A bit where, yeah, I mean, Abby's boyfriend, what about him?
Right. Where is he from? Because he's speaking with an American accent, but he also says things that are just a little bit like he's a Dutch man trying to speak English. And don't get me wrong, Dutch people speak beautiful English, but they also have slight little affectations. When he says, yeah, I'm a dick, we know this. That's not quite how a native English speaker would say that sentence, but he does.
Where were you born, mate? Alabama. No.
Mississippi.
The Netherlands. Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. That's fine. Good on you.
All right. Good.
Also, he's hidden a keg down in the morgue. Why?
Unbelievable. But also, it's so that comes up. It's like, right, we need more drink. So, yeah, it's fine. I've used one of the fucking cases where we put dead bodies to put a keg of beer in.
Yeah.
So, but when that comes up, she's like, okay, yeah, I'll get it. But it sounds like he's just said he's going to get it. So I'm like, what's going on here?
No, he's got two. He says, I've got two kegs down there. Can one of you help me?
Right. Okay. Again, looking at my phone. I was looking at what part of the Netherlands he was from. But, okay, fair enough. So he goes down there. Gets the beer and he's like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, how does he die? I forget. Or does he just wander off?
No, he heads off. He goes back upstairs and Zoe is lagging
behind.
That's
why she gets cornered by Max.
She gets cornered by Max. Max tries to rape her out of nowhere. Zombie bites him. One thing I will say, I'm very, very aware of the fact that we've not got far through this film yet.
But we will be skipping through very quickly, it's fine.
Is even before all of this hospital stuff, we've had a scene. We've had a scene out in the street, zombie chaos nightmare shit. It's then gone 5 hours earlier, and then we're in the hospital. So you think you're going to get an origin story for this zombie outbreak, but we get no explanation whatsoever.
Yeah.
There is no explanation. We've seen a
fucking
dead body.
Bizarre.
And that dead body ends up coming alive and killing, eating everybody. Well, no idea why.
Anyway, yeah.
Carry on.
Really weird to do a this is how it starts, this is 5 hours later, this is how it ties in. It doesn't. It's just start with the guys in the thing. Just skip the zombie stuff at the beginning. It's weird. But anyway.
Weird.
Talking about skipping, we immediately skip 5 years later.
Yeah, I thought of you at this moment.
Look, I'm thinking this was very, very end game of them. You know, you sit. Imagine sitting there in the cinema watching this, and it goes 5 years later, and obviously everyone gasps. Oh wow, 5 years has passed. I'd imagine that would have been the same with this.
So
obviously,
true.
if this was Bloodlines 20, you'd be like, oh my god, this is what it's been building up to. 5 years later. So anyway,
Avengers Bloodline.
So you joke that could be one of the Avengers films eventually. Certainly in the Marvel era, I could see that happening. Bloodlines.
Yeah.
Wolverine, yeah, Bloodlines.
I mean, that sounds all right. I'd watch that.
Yeah, I'll watch that.
Also, just a quick note. Zoe did end up running back up to the party after the zombie attack on Max.
Yeah.
Without the keg. She ran up without the keg.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, man, where's the keg? Anyway. So 5 years later, the survivors of the initial outbreak are all sent to refugee camps. Zoe is sent to High Rock Emergency Bunker, which is run by Lieutenant Miguel Salazar. Miguel. So yeah. Miguel, Zoe, and Baca are the only people you really need to know. So Zoe is the camp doctor. Not like that.
Yeah. Hey guys. So yeah, who's got no one to treat? Yeah. Why has that happened?
Yeah. What a weird kind of after effect of this zombie outbreak. But anyway, so we very quickly realise that the first set piece that they're going to have to do is a supply run for a sick kid. And Miguel is that over the top army guy that's like, let the kid die.
Yeah,
and so why are you saying that? He doesn't actually, but as good as
he intimates
at this
it,
point. I have mentioned Baca, so Baca is Miguel's brother, and he's also Zoe's love interest. He loves that camp stuff. So, so there you go.
So he's the worst cast military man I've ever seen.
100%. 100%.
Like,
he's not a military man.
No, he's a good-looking boy. Don't get me wrong.
He's just a very good-looking guy. Hey, I'm a soldier man. No,
why wouldn't he
say
long?
Soldier man either. Yeah, like
nonsense.
His brother, like Miguel, he can pass as a soldier guy, but not this. He's like he belongs in like a Calvin Klein advert or something like that.
Absolutely. When he's wearing camo gear, it looks like one of those like trendy kids who's wearing camo gear to be trendy. I've never felt more in my 30s than I do right now, but you know what I mean.
No, I don't, man. Anyway, so
yeah, dude,
I will say his name, I'm not having a go at any listeners that are called Baca, by the way.
Yeah.
But he's not a Baca. He isn't.
And there's Baca no need for him to be called Baca.
Yeah, like if, you know, I'm thinking a footballer called Baca. He looks about 42 years old. He's 26 and he plays for Colombia. Like that's, you know, you look at him and go, he's had a hard life. Baca. Not this guy.
Aston Villa
this guy
have been linked
is like
with him this transfer window.
This guy, he should be called like Juan or Jose. Like, just call him that.
Or
Jesus. He looks like a Jesus, to be honest.
Jesus,
they could have just called him Jesus.
Yeah, could have been a Jesus.
And that's the link, Bloodlines. So during this supply run, we get a few obvious deaths, stoking a bit of anger in the camp. as well as Miguel. He obviously goes off on one and is like, I knew this was going to happen. You know, very like tropey trope. This is also the bit where we realise that Max, he's still hanging about, but he's a zombie. And he's hunting Zoe. So, you know, sexual deviancy knows no bounds, apparently.
So I'm going to stop you here for a second because there's a couple of things I want to explore. First of all, the film dabbles in like stereotypical military banter, like we're the hard men, like
classic.
There's one car that has Baka and Zoe in it, and there's another car that has all the stereotypes in it, right? And the one guy's like, hey, you know what I miss? Cheeseburger. What do you miss? And then they all take it in turns.
Apple pie.
Apple pie.
What do you miss? Sky Sports. Why sign up?
And typically, so typically as well, they get to the last guy and like, hey, Frank, whatever the fuck is it? Like, honestly, no idea what his name is anymore.
It might actually be Frank, actually.
Maybe Frank. And he's like, you know what I miss? People shutting the fuck up. Oh, yeah. Top military banter. Frank's obviously going to die.
And also chicken nuggets. Okay.
I miss the toy from Happy Meals and you shut the fuck up. So there's that.
I miss Rooster.
Do you mean KFC?
Yeah.
But also, I just want to point out that the reason that we find out that that Max is still around as a zombie is because they've gone on this run to get all this medicine from the hospital, and Zoe has decided to go to her like office or whatever and find like photos of her mum and stuff. And
that's fine.
No, she's been very reckless there. She's been very reckless. Because they're all together in a little group. She's ducked off slyly without anybody knowing to go and grab this stuff. And that's what's alerted Max. She's then got in trouble and had to like shoot in the direction of Max. Doesn't hit him. Which has then woken up loads of other zombies. Zombies go mental, kill Frank, pull his intestines out and stuff. Which is also hilarious because later on. So actually, no, I'll bring it up later when we get to this point. But just remember, Frank's, we're calling him Frank, this guy's intestines have been pulled out and he has been ripped to absolute shreds, okay? Just remember that. That's how he's died. But very clearly, Zoe has fucked up here. It was her idea to go on this run, this medicine run, which is, you know, understandable, there's debate there. It was her decision to duck off on her own and go into her office and fuck things up, okay? They were in the clear otherwise. Just remember that. So anyway, you were saying they get back and Miguel is pissed off.
Yeah, he's fuming. He's like, oh, for fuck. Like, I knew this was going to happen, honestly. Why have you done this? Yeah? And they were like, all right, calm down. Frank's wife turns up. She's like, where's Frank? And then no one says anything. And she's like, this is your fault. It's still not even a natural reaction. You'd be hysterical, wouldn't you? You'd be like, no, where is he? Where is he? Please tell me. Don't tell me he's dead and then just break down. But you wouldn't go, where's Frank? He's dead, isn't he? This is your fault, Zoe. Like, well, hold on. Like, you know,
to be fair,
ask some questions.
She's absolutely spot on. It is 100% Zoe's fault, and she shows zero guilt. She's like, we needed the medicine. Like, yeah, you didn't need the photos of your mum. Like, I'm sorry, you miss your mum. I get that. You know, but
I needed this vinyl. It's an original. There's only like 1,000 in a limited edition. You can get another husband.
Yeah. This Blastoise was a shiny, so, you know.
No, anyway. I needed this extra Game Boy because the other one might break.
I can sympathise with that. You can't have too many Game Boys. Zoe has zero guilt, and it's ridiculous. And in fact, later on in the film, she says, like, she's confused when somebody blames her. She's like, what? You're blaming me?
Like, what have I done? What have I ever done?
I've just been a camp doctor this whole time.
Yeah. How dare you? I'm going to my room to play my vinyl and Game Boy. I want to play both of them. I'm so annoyed. Oh, actually, I've got no batteries. Supply run. Right.
Oh, I forgot.
Right. Who's your new husband? Going to need him and all. He's dead already. I've not even left the camp. Anyway, so again, I have told you I'm skipping a lot of stuff here.
Yeah.
So if I skip right over what you're about to reference later, you're probably going to have to interrupt me. So anyway, they end up capturing Max. Yeah, that's how far I've gone forward. So Max is loitering around the camp.
Yeah.
Looking at the kids playing football. Although I'm happy they're playing football. That's good.
Oh, that's
or soccer.
Are they though?
They're sort of just kicking a ball in a circle. I mean, it's not a match or anything, but...
I was like, oh, look at that. It's Euro 2020. It wasn't.
And this is where we play Three Lions again.
It's coming home.
Max is coming home.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, anyway, they capture Max and realise that Max is not fully a rotter. Mm. Not fully erotic is how I almost read that. He definitely is, because that's what keeps him going.
Yep.
But Zoe convinces Miguel to allow her to use Max's magical blood, his magical sexual predator blood, to create a vaccine.
So,
and Miguel gives her 48 hours to create this vaccine for some reason.
Yeah, for no reason.
You got 48 hours. Yeah. Maybe that's how long the Game Boy batteries last.
That's true.
Bizarre.
The reason that I said it's important to remember that Frank was ripped to shreds is that there's sort of a little bit of a council about what they should do with Max. And Zoe's argument is, look, we can use this to create a vaccine. And the few people that are there in the council are like, yeah, I think we should do it. And some of them are a bit like, oh, I'm not sure. Miguel particularly is like, I don't want this... Kill him, shoot him. I don't want his zombie.
Yeah, kill everyone, man.
All right.
Woo.
And then he's like, hey, Frank's wife, what do you think? And she's like, I think we should let her keep him. This vaccine could have saved Frank. No, it couldn't
definitely
have.
Definitely not.
His intestines were like around his head. This vaccine's not solving that. It's absolute nonsense. Yeah.
And you talk about the intestines being round the head. Right at the beginning of the film, when Zoe's running away, do you remember the zombie chasing her has, like, a small intestine wrapped around his neck? Like butcher's sausages or something. It's like, it's hilarious. But anyway.
I can't wait to tell you my favourite moments of the film. Because they're all in the first 2 minutes, but...
We then get another set piece. Because they all agree, so let's do this vaccine. This vaccine is definitely going to solve COVID. We then get another set piece where they need to test Max's blood on some other live zombies or rotters, which we obviously know is definitely going to go wrong.
Yeah.
And it does. Classic Zoe plan. Loads of people die again.
Yeah. All of this is your fault, Zoe. Like, all of this is your fault. And she has no guilt at all. It makes no sense that this plan has gone the way it does, other than for plot development. Like, they're opening a gate to let one zombie in at a time.
All right, let one in, yeah.
So they let one in, they shoot the zombie's legs, get the blood, and then kill it. Done. Then she's like, we need another one. Why? I don't know why, but fine, do it, whatever, that's fine. Do it, get a second one
script.
They do it with the second one. Shoot its legs, get the blood, kill it. Then, for some reason, all of the other zombies now can get in through the gate. Just lock the gates again.
England.
Yeah.
They've let two in. We can all do it. Yes.
Garbage. Yeah. Garbage.
Rule of six. Get back. So, yeah, it's it was bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. At this point, only because I forgot to mention him at the beginning, but did you notice that one of the army guys was... I mean, we talked about them not being actors anyway. But one of them is a British guy. He's a gladiator. He was in Gladiators.
Oh no!
And his name is Rhino. His name is Rhino in Gladiators.
Rhino, I remember Rhino. He was.
He used
was
to be huge.
Yeah, big, like really big.
He's
guy.
Quite skinny in this. Yeah,
made sense. Good nickname for him. Rhino came quite late, didn't he, to the party? Like he wasn't one of
he's
the.
He's one
originals.
Of the new ones. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember. Wow, that's good. That that's added a blueberry.
He was quite good,
film.
I thought. Yeah, do you know what? Given that he's not an actor, I thought his accent was convincing.
Yeah,
more convincing than that Dutch American guy. So,
hey, man, know. I'm a dick. I know this.
Yeah, what do you miss? Oh, I just miss being in Gladiators in London, to be honest. No, with the cameras on.
We're doing the film at the moment, mate.
All right, I knew. Yeah. So it all goes wrong. So they go back into the camp. Miguel tells Backer. He says, hey, Backer.
Backer.
Bro. He says, hey, bro. Just earlier I saw Zoe's name was carved into Max's arm.
Yeah.
Yeah? And Backer's like, well, what's going on about this? Well, you know, you're getting it on with that zombie fella.
Yeah. Why'd you carve your name into his arm?
And he goes, look, I've carved it into my leg, so it's better. Well, that says Zooey. So anyway, so...
Deschanel
she basically says...
Well. That's nothing to do with me.
Sorry, did you call me? No, not you, Zooey. So anyway... she says, you know, Max attempted to rape her. And Backer's like, all right, well, I'll probably leave it there then.
Well, I've got to say, actually, not a terrible bit of acting here from the Zoe actor.
And B, Zoe like, actor, yeah.
Pretty, like, this is pretty heavy stuff. Like, she's like, you know, I'm trying to use this guy to get a vaccine. And I've got to be down here with him all the time, like looking at him. And every time I look at him, I've got to replay the worst moment of my life. It's like,
yeah,
Jesus, this is heavy. If this was in a good film, this would be good.
Yeah. But also the film ruins it by having like an overly gratuitous scene where, you know, Max is in his chains. And Zoe's like, right, just need to get some of his blood and that. So she goes to take some of his blood, and he's looking at her, and he's black tongues, like, you know, just... It's like, what's going on here? So she goes in to get the blood, So that's it. So fine now. Absolutely safe. I don't understand what the character motivation would be to let him grab her ass and then lick her face. Like, it's... I'm so confused. She'd already
absolute
got the blood.
Nonsense. It's absolute nonsense.
That's just the director going, no, actually, just stay there for a bit. Maybe it's Max is the director.
Some of our fans, the ones that look like Derek, are going to enjoy this.
So I watched this and I was sort of like laughing at disgust. And I had my head in my hands. I was like, I can't believe I'm watching this scene. It's disgusting.
Yeah, and like you say, unnecessary and undoes some of the
underdoes
the act the actual
the underdone sort of... his pants.
Oh,
yeah, it's horrible, isn't it? Sorry, I feel like a director of this film now.
Yeah, the only bit of the film that actually has any sort of power or merit is kind of undone by that. Yeah.
So anyway, not long after that, Max escapes and. I mean, he escapes while she's in the room. So for some reason, he's playing a little game where he's like, he's already got the keys.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's trying to... Is he just struggling to get the handcuffs off? I don't know. Because he's kind of like... Do you know what I mean? What are you doing, mate? Who is this for? Just undo your cuffs.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Anyway, so he gets out. Zoe's like, oh, bloody hell, how's this happened? I definitely didn't see this happening. Definitely did. And then he just repeatedly says to our... He repeatedly says to her, you are mine. Why is he saying that?
Zoe, you are mine.
Yeah, do you know, that normally, I mean, that's an in-joke there, of a game that me and Gaz are playing called Elder Scrolls. And normally I'd cut this, but I'm going to leave it in. I'm going to leave it in for my own enjoyment. So there you go. Unnecessary celebrations.
We'll have fun with that if nobody else does.
Yeah, absolutely. No one else is listening anyway, apart from that guy that played Max. But you are mine, always. Just go away. He then attempts to rape her again. However, he is fended off by Backer. Anything to add there, Gaz?
Not really. I mean, there's a few moments in this film actually, and this is one of them where something's kicking off, and there are a few people standing around with guns, just in the perfect spot. Like, it's bizarre. Like, they're standing in a corridor, and then they hear a noise, and the three of them are just like standing there waiting to hear the noise. And it's like, it's almost like they've started rolling the camera.
Action!
Exactly. And then they're like, well, let's run. It's like, what? Yeah. Just cut that first bit out.
And just one person just checking their phone. And, oh, obviously the networks would be down, wouldn't they? So anyway, we get another set piece. And again, I'm really speeding along here. So some of the, I know I said I wouldn't mention any other of the characters. We mentioned Rhino from Gladiator.
Yep.
He actually survives. I don't remember him dying.
I hope so.
I know I've kind of just dropped that bombshell out of nowhere.
I presume the reason everybody else died. But yeah, you're right. He saw other people dying.
Frank's wife definitely dies. She dies.
Yeah.
Loads of other people die. But basically, we get another set piece that leads to Max letting loads of zombies in. Loads of people die, including Miguel.
Yeah.
So he's dead. He's on the floor. His guts have been ripped out. He's doing that silly face to the camera where it's like, as like they go over the top with the effects. And
yeah,
it's hilarious, actually. It's this is like classic, funniest bit of the film. Classic zombie shot.
Yeah.
You know, Romero is probably watching this going, all right, well, I mean, they got that right. Bright, but Jesus, the rest of this is terrible.
Yeah.
Backer is bitten. Bitey Backer.
And we know what that means in a zombie film. He's definitely gonna turn into a zombie.
Yeah. Good old Zombo. So anyway, Zoe Zombo, she's stalked by Max. But she's hiding in like a greenhouse or something. He's walking around saying, you are mine, you are mine. And then she pops out of a little soil bit. Nice hiding, by the way. Don't know how she managed to bury herself. It doesn't make no sense, but whatever. She pops out. She's like, fuck you, you fuck. And he's like, "Ow!" And then she cuts his head off. She disembowels him and then cuts his head off.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
Then she does a little celebration. She goes, yippee! He's definitely dead. He's definitely dead this time. Go on.
Yeah, well, he is. I mean, his head's off. So one thing that's important to emphasise is that throughout the majority of this film, Zoe has been like, we have to keep him alive because we can use him because he's got all these powerful antibodies or whatever that might
predator
allow us
blood.
To predator blood. And anyway, this is the moment where, even though she probably would rather be able to use him, she's like, nah, fuck it, I'm gonna kill him. Cuts his head off. But also, when she comes out of the soil thing, it doesn't really make any sense, but fine. Is this a like, was I, is it just me getting like massive alien ripoff vibes? Like, she comes out, she's covered in like stuff, it's just soil, but like in Alien, she's covered in grimy whatever, like from aliens and stuff. She's wearing the like vest, like Ripley, and is just
get
like,
away from her, you bitch.
Exactly.
Are you saying that?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's worth noting. I know we cut her out, but this kid that, you know, they did this whole thing for at the beginning to save her. Yeah. The kid is actually in this whole scene. I just decided to cut her out because she's such a nothing.
So nothing. And
yeah,
none
but
of
it is very
sense.
Maternal of Zoe. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. She's doing that. sorry, John's just thrown his microphone at himself.
Yeah, sorry, I've just in disgust. Yeah. Jesus. Scared the life out of me. Huh?
Also, everything with this little kid makes no sense. Like, they
say it how you were just about to say it. Everything makes no sense. They've recast Gaz.
That Dutch guy.
He's Lithuanian now.
So everything makes no sense. She's apparently got some sort of incredibly contagious illness, and Zoe is trying to say, you know, if we don't cure her, it will spread and it will kill all of us. And yet she goes and hangs out in a contained room with her and says, "Hey, lovely sweetheart,
so weird.
You'll be okay." And lets footballing, playing kids go and hang out with her as well, just in this confined space without wearing a mask. You know, obviously one AC these days, so we're not as sensitive to it as they were in two BC. So there's that. Then the other thing that makes no sense is the reason that Zoe's out there in this greenhouse is because, this annoyed me so much at the time, that there's this door that's opened up and all these zombies are streaming into the complex. And this girl, Lily her name is, this girl runs out the door where all of the zombies are coming in. She just runs out that way. Like, she's scared, I get that. She's going to run away. She's running towards them. It doesn't make any sense.
Where are you going?
Towards the thing that's terrifying me.
I'm going to hide in this volcano, this erupting volcano. What are you doing, man?
No, you've got to confront your fears. Bizarre. It makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So she's hiding in the fire. She's going to be okay. So anyway, Zoe finds Backer about to commit suicide. Because he's like, look, I don't want to be a zombie. And she's like, look, all right, I can cure you. I've got the vaccine. So she injects him with it and he dies. No, he doesn't die. So he's cured. Sometime later. Yippee, yay, woo! So anyway, the emergency bunker has been repaired. And Zoe sends a message out to the remaining survivors that they have the vaccine. While the rotter's growls are heard from within a nearby forest.
Yeah. We hate you, boo! You killed our friend! You killed Max!
And then the film ends. So that's the end of the film. I'll invite you to discuss your favourite scenes, if you have any. Or like, you know, creme de la creme, like worst of the worst.
Yeah. Look, I'll tell you, my favorite moments are also the worst moments. And most of them happen in the first 30 seconds. So it starts off with like a news reporter who is maybe, and we've seen some shit stuff recently over the last couple of years, she might be the worst actor out of all of them. And all she has to do is pretend to be reporting on a story. She's so bad. She's so bad. Like, I can't... Can you put the audio in here, please? With her... I can't fathom how bad she is.
There is no sign of the National Guard. Creatures are tearing up the city.
But there's her, and there is chaos. Like, this is proper apocalyptic world-ending chaos. People are being ripped to shreds on the street. There's screaming, there's fire, there's explosions, there's people tring, exploding tring, for no reason. Tring. Out of nowhere, some woman comes cycling down on a little, like, leisure bicycle. It's not even like she's... it's not even like this is clearly her best way of getting out of the situation. She's got a little basket on the front of her bike, and she's just dinging her bell. Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, ding, tring.
And I was like, why is she there?
Fucking mental.
Anyway, she's cycling along, happy as Larry, and then something comes through a glass window and rips her off the bike and kills her.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. It's one of the funniest things I've seen.
It was brilliant. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because, yeah, I mean, that was in my list. And another part of the film where I just burst out laughing. It's like, I mean, where's her like emergency in this scenario? Like, because is she like so focused on riding a bike that she doesn't notice that the world's falling apart around her?
Maybe she's just learnt. Like, she's learning to ride a bike. That takes a lot of energy and attention. So.
God, I'm terrified here, but if I go any faster, I'm going to fall off. Well, you've just been pulled through a fucking window by a zombie,
bling, bling.
So more fool you. Yeah, that was hilarious. Yeah. I have to say, like, in this same scene, every bite that turns into someone's head exploding.
Yeah,
I don't know what is going on here, but someone obviously had some great fun with exploding blood packets.
Well, that's where
it makes sense.
$10 million went.
Well, apparently so. Apparently so. All right. So, what's bottom of the barrel of this film? Where does it really kind of sink into the depths of terribleness?
For me, it's a scene that we've already touched upon. And I think it sums it up, because things happen that just don't make sense just to try and get it to the next bit. And I just want to reiterate how little sense it makes when they've got this plan that, I mean, I don't... Their plan is... It just doesn't make sense. So their plan is to let zombies through the gate, shoot their legs so that they can't move. And then they'll go and extract some blood. They'll do some experiments on that blood. Fine. I sort of get that. Kind of get that as a concept. They do it with one, success. They do it with the second one, success. But they have two people standing at the gate to stop all of the other zombies that are waiting outside from coming through. And for some reason, when they let that second zombie in, they don't lock the gate that has successfully kept everybody out, all of these zombies out. And instead,
I don't know how, because it's a very weak gate anyway.
It's unbelievable. And they just, at no point do they go, listen, this is getting a little bit, there's a few of them here, we're going to lock this up now, I think. They just go, oh God, they're going to get in. I think they're going to get in a minute. Oh no, they're in.
Oh, they're in. How's that happen? I never saw that coming. terrible.
I think that just sort of exemplifies the problems with this film and why it's such a piece of shit.
Yeah, no, I agree. So there's a couple of things I had a major issue with. The cut to Zoe running around the gate constantly throughout the film. It's like, I mean, what are you doing, man? Like, she's... Yeah. Someone needs exercise, I get it. But I would not be running that close to the fence when you've got these zombies that are desperate to rip your face off every day. That annoyed me. It just seemed excessive, that scene. I think it happened like three times in the film. The biggest issue that I have with this film is that they don't kill anyone that you give a shit about, or at least even if it was a good film.
Yeah,
like you've got the Rhino character, so oh yeah, it's Rhino from Gladiator. Kill him.
Nah,
because there's
can't
an audience member.
Because all
be
the
like,
Gladiator
oh,
fans.
What?
Yeah,
yeah, or like. But there's no relationships in this film. Like, if you, Zoe, fine. You know, she lives. And Backer, he lives. And the little girl, she lives. It's like, you know, a zombie film, you're supposed to have people that you invest in a little bit that die and you're gutted. Even if a friend at the beginning, Abby, let's say they both escaped, you'd kill her off later on. You'd be like, keep, oh no, her mate's
save her
died.
For later. Save her for later.
Yeah.
Although
it's like, no, dead. Yeah.
That would have been a lot of effort because of overdubbing her voice the whole time. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe. Yeah. So that was a big miss for me.
Yeah,
but anyway, that's the end. So that's the end of the film. That's the end of the pod, in a way.
In a way.
Do you know what? I'll start first this time,
okay.
Gaz.
Go for it.
Obviously, the whole point of us doing this series is to find Zero Blood movies, and I'd suggest the competitive aspect has disappeared now, to be honest, because, you know, there's no winners when we go out to find films that are so difficult to watch. Yeah. They take years off our lives. So I suspected when I picked this that it wouldn't be a Zero Bloob movie. And I think I'm going to surprise you, and certainly Len a little bit. I actually quite enjoyed a lot of this film. I get the whole idea of a film being so bad that it's good, and I'm not suggesting that this is by any means anything like that. I wouldn't place it on the level of Alienator. In that, you know, Alienator, I would suggest for people to go and watch it. There are scenes in this film that I would like people to see. The stuff at the beginning, the exploding stuff, the woman on the bike, that is hilarious stuff.
That's brilliant.
And actually, like, this was a 90-minute film that to me felt like a 90-minute film. It didn't drag. Obviously, there were points when I was looking at my phone, and that's fine. I'm going to give this film 2 bloobs because, you know, I thought about the 1 bloob stuff, and do you know what? Like, I think this is a better film than Left Behind, for example. Left Behind has a gigantic budget as well.
Yeah.
Left Behind should be a much better film than it is. And it's got Nicolas Cage in it, for fuck's sake. Well, what a waste.
Hmm.
Yeah, and that other fella that's a reporter, you know, so, you know. It should be better than it is.
And it's a Christian... how do you even describe it?
Yeah, they've got
it?
Jesus like on their side, man. Like, come on.
Yeah.
That felt like... I think back to Left Behind. That felt like a 3-hour film. That felt very long.
Yeah.
So that's my score. I'm going to give it 2 bloobs, Gaz. How about yourself?
I totally get what you're saying. I think you've justified it well. I'm not giving it 2 bloobs. I'm giving it 8 out of 10. I'm not. It's getting 1 blueberry from me. The acting is really bad. And it just, like I said, the contrivances are what annoy me the most. The stupid setups that have that make no sense. But are just there to move the plot along or to try and explain something later. Like, there's no relationship established with her mum, and yet it's going to get a photo of her mum that gets Frank killed. Like, we don't... Stupid. Why does it matter that she's shy
Selfish.
At parties? Not yeah. relevant at all. She's not shy at any other point. There is no shyness in her character at any point. There's a stupidly seriously ill girl that has an incredibly contagious disease, but not contagious enough for anybody to wear a mask when they go and see her. Just nonsense, nonsense things that if anybody had thought about this, they would have realised it doesn't make sense. So I can't give it more than 1 blueberry, I'm afraid.
Yeah. No, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. It's very similar to, American Poltergeist in that sense.
Yeah.
I think
the
acting in that is far worse though.
Yeah. But it doesn't have as high a budget, I imagine, American Poltergeist.
Well, who knows?
Who knows?
I mean, we did special effects for it, so.
Speaking of special effects, Do you want me to tell you what our next movie is going to be?
Yeah, go for it. I'm excited. The big reveal.
The big reveal. So, I had a couple of horror films in my back pocket for this, but I think it's good if we mix things up a little bit, and you know, we vary our genres a touch. So I've gone for something slightly different. I've gone for I think it's a comedy. Yeah.
Always with the comedies, man.
Well, look,
you never learn.
It's a sci-fi. It's a sci-fi comedy, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You looking forward to this?
What's
now?
The year?
The year is it's recent. 2016.
You and your new films, man.
Yeah, I know. I need a classic. I need to find a classic.
Honestly, if fucking Marlon Wayans is in it, I'm not doing it.
I'll read you the short synopsis.
Yeah.
Two sexually repressed and unpopular actors called Marlon Wayans. Two sexually repressed and unpopular teenagers discover a lifelike supermodel sex bot.
Ooh.
Yeah. You like the sound of that? You're in now, aren't
you?
It is the 2060. It's the 2016 sci-fi comedy romp, Hot Bot.
Hot. Hot Bot. me.
Yeah.
I mean, that title.
Yeah, I know.
Hot Bot.
Hot Bot.
I think that might be the worst title we've ever done. It's gotta be.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah, Hot Bot. Yeah, it's terrible.
Hot Bot. Watched this film the other night. Hot Bot. Sorry? Are you saying that over the phone? You'd assume someone's connection had died. Hello?
Or they're bot. Really unwell.
Yeah.
You okay?
Or they're a robot. Yeah, so, okay, fine. Well, I'm looking forward to that, mate. Cheers.
No problem. Yeah, so we'll do that in 5 weeks' time, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Depends. Depends how far England go. anyway, so that does bring us to a close. If you have enjoyed this episode, do send us your feedback and thoughts at fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. You can send me some feedback on Twitter if you want. That's fancriticalpod. Or Instagram, that is fan_critical. We're on Facebook as well, if anyone's, you know, on that still. We've got a YouTube channel now. Just go and search for us on there. You can listen to some of our stuff on there. And I think YouTube is best set up to have conversations with us and note down your favourite bits of a podcast. So, you know, feel free to do that instead. And then I'll go, no, we weren't saying that. So don't...
Yeah.
If Len was here, he would be banging on about us begging for money. So if you want to donate some dollars, you can at patreon.com/fancritical. But other than that, cheers, Gaz, for
cheers,
joining
John.
Me today.
No problem. Thanks for hosting.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Give it a go, good job, mate.
Giving it a go, giving it a go. We're off to watch England beat Croatia 7-0 and get really excited. So that'll be good. But look, thanks for listening, guys. Stay safe and look forward to another episode in July of The Worst of Netflix. Bye-bye.
Bye.